At Hamilton Road Baptist Church, sorry, my microphone was off. Hopefully you can still hear me. A warm welcome for those who are online this morning who maybe didn't hear the first 20 seconds of me chatting away here. But it's great to have you guys with us. Great to have you online as well. And so this morning, I'm just going to read, and then Gav and Hannah are going to lead us in a song. But this morning, let's be reflective and meditative on those words, given that we unfortunately can't sing together at the moment. Let's use this time wisely to reflect on the words of these songs as well. So I'm going to read from Psalm 25. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cease or without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant.
Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all. And for those of you who are joining us from home, this morning's first song is called Light of the World. And it's very unusual for Hannah and I to be singing in front of you and for you not to sing with us, but we'll try our best. But this morning's service, we're going to be looking at what it means to follow after Christ. And this first song is one of the lines that says, a hope of a life spent with you. And in this really difficult times that we're living in at the minute, we really want us all to cling to that hope that Jesus is the light of the world, who we have a hope in and we can put our trust in. So, yeah.
Upon that cross. So here I am am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Gavin and Hannah for leading us in that song and singing so well for us. It's just great that even though we can't sing together, that this meeting together and listening to God's word and encouraging one another is still an act of worship. So thank you for helping us focus this morning on Christ. Just a couple of announcements. There's going to be a video in just a small moment, but right now I'm going to let you know that unfortunately we're not able to pass the basket around for our offering that we would usually do on a Sunday morning, but there's still an opportunity for you to give. If you're online at home, you can give online. All you have to do is go to Hamilton Road Baptist Church and there's an option for you to be able to give online there. If you're here and you're leaving this morning and you'd still like to tie in and sow into God's church, then there's an opportunity for you to give. There's a bucket on the way out, but there's going to be a video on this screen.
So tonight we say, well, God, what were you able to do? Were you able to do anything to reconcile us to yourself? We who are broken, we who are naturally at war with you and at war with one another, what did you do in order to reconcile us to you, O holy God? Well, consider this. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peacemakers. God our Father sent his one and only Son into the world. Galatians says at exactly the right time, God sent forth his own Son, born under the law, to redeem people like you and me who are under the law, so that he might make us adopted children of God. And isn't it wonderful to know, in a culture where there's a paucity and a scantness of people who don't want to make peace with one another, that God our Father sent his only Son as the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. And his name, as we heard earlier, will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Peace.
Well, hopefully by that short clip, you're challenged by even the short words that Johnny shared with us there. So tonight, if you want even more of that, you can tune in online as well. It'll be on our YouTube page, and it'll also be shared to our Facebook page at a later stage as well. And if you've missed any of this series on Matthew 5, you can also go back and watch those as well, just to make sure you're caught up to know where Johnny's leading us tonight. So Stella is going to come to us and read before Sharon gives us our kids talk for this morning. Thank you, Stella.
Morning. Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 to 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Jesus got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Thank you.
Hello, boys and girls. I hope you're all well, and I hope you're enjoying your summer. My friend Billy here had a great plan for enjoying the rest of his summer. In church, he had been learning all about how Jesus called his disciples and how they had spent time together in those early days. And Billy thought, I'd love to get some of my friends together so that we could really enjoy the rest of our summer. So he thought he'd chat about it with his mum. Mum, he said, I've had an idea. I think that I'll get a gang of boys together so that we can have fun for the rest of the summer. A gang? Said his mum. Billy, that sounds a wee bit rough. Not at all, Mum. I just mean get some boys who live in the neighbourhood that we can have fun with. Well, what are you planning to do? Said his mum. Well, we'll think of a name for our gang. We can meet in our shed. Maybe we could do some jobs for the neighbours. And if we've got some money, maybe every Friday we could have a little treat, like some pizza or ice cream. Maybe go for a picnic round the lake or at the beach or at the park. Well, said his mum, you've thought about this quite a lot. Who's going to be in your gang? Well, definitely Pete, said Billy. Pete was Billy's very best friend. In fact, Pete and Billy had become Christians around the same time, and they were helping and encouraging each other to read the Bible and to live for God each day. So Pete has to be in the gang. We thought we'd also ask Sam, he said to Mum. You see, Sam has a big shed just like ours. So if there's some days you need our shed, Mummy, maybe we could have our gang meeting in Sam's shed. Now, there's a new boy who lives down the road. He just moved in a few days ago. He's called Johnny. We call him Trendy Johnny because he has gelled up hair and he wears trendy clothes and he seems very friendly. And we thought, Mummy, maybe he could teach us to be trendy. Well, Mummy tried really hard not to laugh. Billy spent most of his time in the muck and the dirt. She wasn't expecting Billy to be trendy anytime soon. Who else are you going to get to be in this group of boys? She asked. Well, definitely Big Keith, said Billy. He's the strongest boy in the neighbourhood, and if there's any heavy jobs to do, we know that Keith will keep us right. And the last person we thought so far is maybe Jake. Mum started to laugh. I know why you're inviting Jake. Yeah, said Billy. Jake's mum makes the best cakes and buns. Well, then Mum saw Billy's face and it turned quite serious and she knew there was a question coming. Mum, said Billy, a lot of these boys aren't actually Christians. Is it okay for me to have lots of friends who are not Christians? Oh, Billy, said his mum, that's a good question. But of course it is. You think about Jesus when he was on earth and he wanted to be friends and mix with everyone. Why, remember when he called the disciple Matthew? Matthew was actually a tax collector. Now, in those days, people did not like tax collectors. They tended to be cheats. They took extra money and kept the money for themselves. But Jesus saw Matthew, the tax collector, and said, "Follow me." And immediately he got right up from his work and followed Jesus. The Bible tells us that later Jesus went to Matthew's house. You see, Matthew had invited some of his tax collector friends to come and meet Jesus. But some of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, were watching Jesus. And they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher mix with tax collectors and sinners?" You see, these Pharisees spent all their time reading the law, studying the law, trying to obey the law, instead of trying to get to know Jesus. Jesus knew that these men would never tell the tax collectors and sinners about God and heaven. That's why Jesus had come to earth, to save sinners. When Matthew and his friends spent time with Jesus, they realized how wonderful he was and how sinful they were. And all they could do was put their faith and trust in Jesus. So Mum turned to Billy. "It's great that you have Christian friends, but remember, Jesus wants us to mix with everyone. So Billy, this summer, when you're playing with the boys, maybe you'll be able to tell them about the Lord Jesus, just like he would want you to." And boys and girls who are listening this morning, will you follow Jesus? Will you ask Jesus to take your sin away so that you're ready for heaven? And then maybe you will be able to tell your friends about Jesus, the Saviour.
Thank you very much, Sharon, for that great challenge, even to us as adults and not just to our children and young people. It's still a great challenge. And look, if you're a young person today, if you're a kid that's at home and you're watching online, or even if you're here with us at Hamilton Road Baptist Church, you're going to want to stay tuned, because our very own trendy Johnny is going to be here in a few minutes to share God's word. But before that, Karen is going to come and pray, and then there's going to be a quick video again where we can reflect on the words as we worship to God this morning. Thanks, guys.
Good morning. Let's pray. Our loving God and Heavenly Father, today we recall your faithfulness to us over the past few months. Thank you that you walk with us every day. Thank you that you are with us each moment. Thank you that your promises are true and your goodness never fails us. Thank you that you have brought each of us safely here this morning. We appreciate the blessing of being able to gather in your presence. May we be filled with a desire to support and encourage one another in love and service to you. As we gather, we remember those who are not with us today. For those watching online, we pray for your blessing to be on them. We lift up those who are facing various illnesses today. We ask that you bring healing, comfort, and peace to their bodies. Calm their fears and let them experience the healing power of your love. We think of those in our congregation who have lost loved ones in recent times, and we ask that you touch them with your unfailing love and kindness and come alongside them in their pain. Lord, your call to Matthew came right in the ordinariness of his life. He got up immediately and followed you. As we move through this day, keep us alert to the many ways your grace seeks entry into our lives. Thank you that Jesus came for all people without exception, and especially the weak and the vulnerable, the sick and the sinner. Father, forgive us for being condescending and judgmental towards people. Help us to be generous to those in need of help. Give us the courage to sit beside them and guide us so that we understand their needs. Lord, bless our pastor as he brings your word to us now. Anoint his words with authority. Open our ears and our hearts that we may hear you speak. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your grace that leads the sinner home
Follow me. Follow me. But what about my business? Follow me. But what's your 5-year plan? Follow me. But what about the concerns with my family? Follow me. But what about my health? Follow me. I wonder if you're watching online or you're gathered here this morning and you hear these two words from Jesus. Follow me. How will you apply them this morning? Because it's very easy to be helped as we've followed the thread already this morning about Matthew, who's a tax collector, who's going to hear these words for the first time. Follow me. How will you apply them 2,000 years later? Follow me. This is the call of the King. Because this is the big theme of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew wants to present Jesus to us as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so now he is calling men and women and boys and girls, like some of you boys and girls here this morning, he's calling you to follow him. And if you've been with us watching online or with us here in person in these services on Sundays, you'll be discovering that Jesus is reaching many different types of people. Just last week, we joined him as he was in and around Capernaum, and he goes to a house where he's teaching away, and suddenly a man comes through the roof, a paralytic from birth. And Jesus says to him, get up, and he gets up. But what is staggering about that story last week, that Jesus said that he had the power to forgive sin. And so last week you might have walked home and thought, well, who is Jesus going to forgive their sin from? Well, that's where we're going to go this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, and unpack the call of the King. So the first question we need to ask, what does the King ask? You're going to see it on the screen. What does the King ask? Well, look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 on the screen. As Jesus went on from there, he's probably just left the house of the paralytic, and there's a huge swathe of people now following in the footsteps of Jesus, and everybody's wondering, what is this rabbi, what is this teacher, who is this Jesus, and what is he going to do next? And he goes to a tax collector's booth. Now, this was shocking and scandalous. It's likely that Matthew was a tax collector in and around the sea. There were two sorts of tax collectors, those at work by the Sea of Galilee who would have been exercising custom and duties with everyone who came off the lake or the sea, as they called it. And there would have been other tax collectors who worked out in the land and people traveling on landmass. Matthew, very likely, was one who operated in and around the sea. So Jesus moves from the house in Capernaum, probably right down to the seashore where Matthew is. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew. Now, I want you to think about this. This gospel is called Matthew's gospel. Matthew's writing about himself. Some people who write books about their life sort of sanitize themselves and kind of cleanse themselves of all of their difficult or sinful activities in the past. But this is Matthew writing about himself. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Now, some of you young people at home watching or here in presence with us this morning, you say, now, what was a tax collector? A tax collector was someone who would have sat probably by the Sea of Galilee, and when a boat would have come in from the sea, he would have looked at all the money that he had and said, now how can I make more? And so when the boat would have arrived, he would have got onto the boat and looked at all of the fish sitting in the boat, and he would have sat back going, now how can I charge this particular fisherman for all of the produce that he's brought in from the sea? Now, he would have worked for the Roman government, and the Romans would have said, now, we want you to give us X amount of money as our tax man, and anything you charge on top of that, well, you can take home for yourself. But the sad thing was, the tax collectors were loved by nobody. The Romans whom they worked for didn't really like them, and the Jewish people that they came from, they didn't really like them. So really, the tax collectors loved money, but nobody loved them. Sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. Now, I want you to try and imagine what that must have been like. Jesus has just left this house where he has healed this paralytic who's got up in front of everybody and has danced his way home with his four friends that brought him. And now Jesus has left. He's probably gone down to the Sea of Galilee. And here the fishermen are getting in, and the tax collector, Matthew, is charging them extortionate amounts of money. And Peter, James, and John are with Jesus, and they're walking down probably to the Sea of Galilee. And suddenly Jesus says, Matthew, follow me. Now, from what I've studied this week, there's enough archaeological evidence to suggest that tax collectors charged fishermen extortionate amount of money. If there was any group that was abused by the tax collectors, it was the fishermen. So could you imagine being Peter, James, and John as they see Jesus getting closer to Matthew, and they don't want to get anywhere near Matthew because Matthew has used and abused them their whole life by the Sea of Galilee and stolen so much money from them. And Jesus marches up to Matthew and says, Matthew, come. Matthew, come and follow me. Matthew, come and be one of my disciples. You can imagine what must have been happening in Peter, James, and John's heart going, Jesus, don't ask this guy. He's a sinner. But you know, if you're watching online, those that are outcasts, those that are despised, they're often the very people Jesus is looking for then and now. Look at what he says on the screen. Follow me. Now, I want you to try and think what Matthew must have thought. Peter, James, and John, I believe, are absolutely shocked by this. The crowds would have been shocked by this. And we'll see in just a few moments, the Pharisees would have been shocked by this. But what must Matthew have thought? As he's sitting at his tax collecting booth and no doubt had his money in little compartments in and around his booth. Leave all the money. Leave my house by the Sea of Galilee, overlooking the lake. Leave my house up in the mountains. Luke tells us a little bit more of the details. It says he left everything. He left everything and followed him. And how do we know that he genuinely does follow Jesus? Well, look on the screen. It says he told him, and Matthew got up and he followed him. What does the king ask this morning? He asks you to follow him. As you hear those words afresh, if you're a Christian this morning, here or online, what does it look like when Jesus says to you this morning, follow me? And you naturally put up all of the objections, but what about this? And what about that? And what about your 5-year plan, Jesus? And what about my family? And what about my boats? And what about my business? And what about my caravan? And what about my career? And what about my job? And what about my family? And you put up all of these barriers to Jesus, and he just simply says, follow me. And when you follow Jesus, you're following one who knows the future. Because Jesus was truly God and truly man. And so when he asked Matthew and he asked you and me to follow him, he's one who knows all things and is in all things, and through him all things hold together. Follow me. This is what the king asked. But secondly, what does the king call, and who does the king call? You'll see in verse 10 who he calls. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house. Now, if you think it was scandalous that Jesus would leave this house in Capernaum where he's healed this paralytic and there's a huge crowd that are following him to the Sea of Galilee and he calls Matthew to come and follow him, if that wasn't bad enough, this is off the charts. He should never go near a tax collector who was said to be unclean, but to go to his house? Jesus, you're nuts. Well, Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house. You say, who was there? Prostitutes were there. The Capernaum Mafia were there. The riffraff were there. The worst of the worst were there. And Jesus was there. One of the verses I love most in the scriptures is this, that Jesus was a friend of sinners. If you're watching online, how does that apply to you? Jesus is a friend of sinners. And you say, how do the Pharisees know that Jesus is here? Well, it reminded me of the greatest football team in the world. And it's not Arsenal. And it's not Glentoran. They've had a good weekend, but the greatest football team in the world is Manchester United. And Sir Alex Ferguson, who was the greatest manager in the world, used to have what was called spies in and around Manchester. And what he did was he used to plant his spies in all of the different nightclubs in and around Manchester, because when his top stars were there, he wanted to know they were there, but he didn't want to be there. So he had his spies. That's what the Pharisees are now doing. They need to watch Jesus. And in the absence of Twitter and Instagram and TikTok, the Pharisees have their spies in and around the Sea of Galilee. So while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with scandalous sinners? The simple answer is because Jesus is a friend of sinners. In Luke's gospel, he's so helpful. Luke was a medical doctor who went back to investigate the life and teachings of Jesus, and he went to inquire with many eyewitnesses, and one writer said of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, he was either going to a meal or coming from a meal, and often his meals were with sinners. Because when Jesus had a meal with someone, he talked to them. He listened to them. He looked into their eyes. He tried to hear what they felt in their hearts, and most of the time it was with sinners like you and me. And so as he's spending time with these people, the riffraff and the mafia and the prostitutes and the unclean in and around the Sea of Galilee, he wants to offer them hope. He wants to offer them forgiveness. He wants to offer them his grace. And so he gets very close to sinners like you and me. He comes from all of eternity in his incarnation. The Bible says in John 1, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so here is the Son of God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, sitting in a scandalous sinner's house because he loves us. This is the answer to their question. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Because he loves us. But then thirdly, what does the king declare? What does the king declare? Look at the screen behind me on hearing this. Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Over the last 4 to 5 months, you know that we have more than any other time lauded the wonderful work of NHS workers, doctors and nurses and many medical staff. But one of the worst things would be if they had occupied all of their times in communities where no one was sick and avoided the hospitals. We wanted them working with those who knew that they were sick and were in desperate need of the medical assistance and help of a doctor. And the Pharisees were like a group of doctors who didn't want to go and help anyone that was sick. They knew that that group of people over there had an issue of sin. They didn't recognize it in their own heart, but they knew that they were sick, and they avoided and kept their distance from them. Jesus says, what sort of a doctor would do this? As he speaks to the crowds and he makes his way around the Sea of Galilee, moving from hamlet to hamlet and village to village and town to town, and will ultimately make his triumphal journey down towards Jerusalem, he's looking for one type of person. A sinner. Like you. And like me. The Bible speaks so much to us about our state outside of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for we are dead in our transgressions and our sins. But yet through Christ, through what he's done on the cross for us, the Apostle Paul also speaks of what he's done for sinners. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us sinners, that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. And that the wages and the price to be paid for our sin is death. But the free gift of God through Jesus Christ is eternal life. I wonder if you're watching at home this morning and you say, I can actually identify with Matthew. I feel unclean. I feel like I don't fit in. When I consider my past and all the places and people that I have been in, I would even dread to think about walking in through a church door. Can I say, you're the sort of person Jesus wants to save, to forgive, to cleanse, and to give you new life. I was reading this week about a very famous painter, and he was making his way around the streets of a particular city, and he wanted to sort of graph some of the pictures of the city through his artistry. And he saw a particular homeless man one day, and he approached this homeless man who assumed would need money to fund some of his lifestyle. And he said, you wouldn't mind coming to my studio, it's on this particular street, tomorrow at 2 o'clock. And the homeless man did come the next day at 2 o'clock. And as he rapped on the painter's door, the painter opened the door, and there the homeless man stood, freshly shaved, with a suit on and a tie, hair trendy. And the painter looked at this homeless man and said, you're no good. I wanted you to come in the state that I saw you yesterday, unkempt and unclean, because it was only in that state that I'd be able to do something with you. Do you know, if you're sitting here this morning, even as a Christian, and you feel unclean, you feel like God can't use you, that God can't call you to follow him, or you say here this morning or online, I'm not yet a Christian, and I feel like that man on the street spiritually, unclean and dirty and unkempt, can I say to you, the only thing you contribute to your salvation is your sin? It's all of the Lord Jesus' grace that he welcomes prodigals like us and scandalous sinners like us home, and he says, come. Come and follow me. I'm going to pray now, and as I pray, the group are going to come back again and sing meditatively to us. And just as they sing, I want you to use this final song as a prayer and ask God that he would help you to follow in his footsteps. So let me pray. Our Father, we thank you for this wonderful story. A story about a normal man like us who went off on a wrong track, who loved money more than he loved people, who loved possessions, who loved power, only to find himself lost and isolated and hopeless. And Father, you know, for those watching online and those here together this morning, as Christians, we need to hear your fresh call again. Come and follow me. Lord God, by your Holy Spirit's power, would you remove the barriers that we all naturally build and construct? To hear afresh this morning, come, follow me. Lord, I pray for some here this morning, both in body and in online, that as they, for the first time as people who've never followed Christ hear this call, come follow me, that they might follow Jesus, that they might see what he has done for them on the cross and give their heart and their life in following of him. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. Before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. Turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Well, if you haven't yet decided to follow Jesus, we'd love to talk with you. If you're watching online, please make contact with us through the church website. You'll find our number and our email address. We'd love to be able to speak to you during the week about what it means to follow Jesus if you're not yet a follower, or if you are a follower and you're just feeling down and you need some help. We'd love to be able to help you. If you're here with me this morning, love to chat to you outside as we all keep our social distance, if we can pray with you or help you in the days ahead. Could I ask you all to stand as we look at the words of the benediction that comes up on the screen, and if you can agree with me, if you could give a good hearty amen with me at the end. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, good day, and God bless you. Again, we're going to file out in a one-way system. We're going to go this direction and then walk around the back of the building. Lovely to see you. God bless.